turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money at Menards.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. Hope y'all are enjoying the weather, having a great old time. As we are all present and accounted for and ready to roll, it's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. What's up, fellas?
Yo, this is great weather.
It is fantastic.
I went out to check the mail today and was like, ooh, boy, I should call in sick and work in the yard.
My wife did.
Did she?
She didn't have a choice. They sent her home again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder if she got me sick.
I don't know. She's fighting. I doubt it, but she's fighting it, unless it was somehow third party through germs.
I need somebody to blame, man. I woke up feeling horrible this morning. Sore throat.
It's going
couldn't
around.
Breathe. I know I didn't get it from a kid.
I literally turned it, you know, because I checked to see how the morning show's going for her. And I literally heard her on three different occasions where even, first of all, twice they didn't turn her audio down and she coughed.
Oh.
And then they turned her audio down and I could hear in the background, you know how we do if one of us hits the mic
right. Mute,
you can still hear the, and all of a sudden she texted me at 7:01. She goes, they're sending me home again. I was like, all right, see you
wow.
When you get here.
Yeah, well. I don't know, maybe y'all send me home at 1:30. That would make Nick happy.
Look at Nick. Nick's
yeah,
like,
that'd be fantastic.
125's
yeah,
good.
I bet it would.
Bye, Felicia.
101. 101 is good. Pack your stuff and hit the bricks.
Why extend it?
Man, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully it's just allergies because, man, I don't have time to get sick. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't have the luxury right now of getting sick. There's just way too much going on.
But you know what it is, too, is the fact that the temperature fluctuates so much. Like you said, you wake up in the morning, you open up the back door, and it's in the low 60s, high 50s, and then all of a sudden by midday, it's 88.
Yeah. So I guess you guys worked in the yard all weekend?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you know me. I was busy with the shrubs and fertilizing. And
oh, did you?
Yeah, all of that.
You're such a liar.
No, I've got the new...
You did it or you paid somebody to do it?
No, I got a guy. I do what I got to do, but I got a guy.
Right. It got done. You didn't do it, but it got done. Okay.
Right.
I feel that. Nick, you still got a dead tree in your yard?
I do. It's supposed to be taken care of today.
Oh, yeah. Okay. How much?
Did you head to the Home Depot?
My brother and his friend's going to do it.
Oh, boy. So are you responsible for the medical bills, or are you having him sign something?
That's what I told him. I'm like, look, y'all hurt yourselves. Y'all might as well die right there in that backyard, because I'm not taking you anywhere.
It's just dig a hole and roll them in it. Who's more athletic, you or your brother?
I would say me.
Oh, well, he's
definitely stronger and probably could kick my ass, but I'm more athletic.
What's the difference in age?
5 years. I'm 5 years older. Five and a half
and he
years.
He can kick your ass?
He's bigger. He's a big dude.
Fat big or muscle
he's
big?
He's fat big, but he still can kick my ass.
You let a fat guy beat you up?
My brother could whip my ass.
Stick and move, bro.
Well, how did that affect
the
hierarchy?
Did you take jiu-jitsu?
No, I have. It's just sometimes...
How do you let... You got a fat guy and you have jiu-jitsu skills. That's like a win. Like, you should own that dude.
I used to own him, but when we became like adults, he's just a stronger dude.
Oh, okay.
He's just a stronger guy.
How did that affect the hierarchy in your house when your younger brother was kicking your ass?
I don't know. It really didn't do anything. I just stopped messing with him as much.
That's okay. My sister beats me up.
That would suck, man.
Yeah. He's just a stronger, bigger kid.
What happened to you?
I don't know. I don't know what happened. He's just a bigger kid.
It happens, man. Sometimes the little brother by age is the big brother by body type. So, I wish him luck.
It's him and his buddy Russell, so I think they'll be all right.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
I
I was able to get a small dig in last night because of the fact that we controlled local television on Channel 2 from 11 to midnight.
Yeah, nice. Back to back.
Yeah, nice. That was nice. I was sitting with Wax, and Wax was texting with me, and I go, he's like, thanks for coming in. We always love having you. And I go, we're just trying to be the B team. And he's like, he's like, I get it. I was like, man, you know, just this is TV. It's different. He's like, yeah, I'm just happy to be back on radio. He goes, but doesn't affect anything with us, right? I go, no, we're cool.
No, but my co-hosts hate you. No, I don't even know Wex, to be honest with you. I think I've met him like once.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really hate anybody in the market. I just...
You hate me and I hate you. That's for damn sure.
Well, I mean...
So, Barry, you were on Channel 2 at 11 and you were on Channel 2 at 11:30?
11:30. My show starts 11:30. At 11:30. Thanks for watching.
I did Sports Sunday at 11.
Oh, okay, so I just switched it up.
We went back to back.
Yeah,
B team in the house.
Yeah,
I like it.
Owning the airwaves.
Yep. And he said there's nothing he can do about it. I said you're absolutely right. I wanted to say it was like the ratings, but I didn't. We had fun. It was always a good time.
I'll be honest. I didn't even watch my own segment last night. I didn't even watch the show.
Were you watching the Game of Thrones?
No, I was playing video games. After the weekend I had, I was just like, I needed to veg out and just like, there was a lot. Because I mean, with trying to get stuff ready for the album and trying to get the TV show and writing for ahead of time and comedy and radio and all the notes from all the games and
tweeting.
I was just like, I'm done. Yeah, I tweeted the whole game.
Not that. Just the fact that I saw you venting about tax day.
Oh, that pissed me off. Yeah. Oh, and that's the other thing I had to do yesterday was taxes last night. So I was like, I'm done. I'm just going to play video games and veg out. And I started at like 10 o'clock, forgot about the show, and then looked up. It was 3 a.m. And I was like, oh, I better go to bed at some point. This is a little late.
Now, do you set the DVR so if you didn't watch it live, you can still catch
it? I record the series, yeah, because mainly they've been trying to post them all on the YouTube channel, Houston Sports Show YouTube channel, and so I can go and grab them there. Because the writers, the guys that are helping me write the segment, want to see it. Sure. They want to see the delivery. They want to see the jokes. They want to, because that helps them write in my voice and write better jokes. And so I've been trying to, you know, do that as well, just in case. But yeah, it's out there. How did your segment go?
It was good. It was good. It was actually better for me because of the fact that it's just like kind of like what we do here. But at the same time, I'd like morning next time because they said we're going to talk Rockets. Obviously, we're going to do post-game from the game, so it's going to be great.
Right.
And we might get to some Texans. I was like, okay, cool. So I walk in, and Laney's at the game. The game's over with. They're all jazzed, but they don't have any audio. They don't know what's going on. And so Randy goes, we get done with the segment. We covered the Masters. We covered Astros. We covered Texans. We covered Rockets.
You did?
Yeah. And so Randy looks at me at the end of it. He goes, dude, that was great. He goes, but normally it's a short segment. We went 16 minutes. I go, Randy, we do that for 3 hours every day. It's just, it would be nice to know what topic we're going to.
Right.
But yeah, it was fun. I mean, because, you know, sometimes you go in there for all of that, and if it's only a 3-minute segment, you're like, meh.
Okay. Drive all the way down there for 3 minutes. I feel bad about that. Like, having Billy on Friday was awesome.
Oh, it was great.
And sometimes I feel bad because we have these guys in for a segment, and they, you know, he fought traffic and gets down here, but that's just the nature of the beast, really. Yeah. Like, Fred and AJ, the first week of Houston Sports Show, drove all the way down there to record a 3-minute segment. Mm-hmm. It sucks, but that's what this business is, really.
And it's like, you know this better than anybody, building your brand on two different fronts. But for me, too, it's like I told Lisa, she goes, but obviously for Lisa with her hours, it's better if I tape it.
Right.
But I was like, Lisa, this is a great chance for me. Right after the game, they're looking for post-game content. They don't want to hear all the blah, blah, blah of Charles and Shaq and bagging on the Rockets. They'll flip over. This is great. I got to do this. I was like, if I come home and you're worried about the dogs waking you up and you only get it, I said, I'll literally sleep in the car until you get up for work and then just wake me up, because I said, this is just too good of an opportunity to pass up.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah, it was good to get that done. Overall, yeah, I mean,
there was plenty to talk about.
Yeah, and we got a ton to talk about simply because it's a great time, again, to be a Houston sports fan, thankfully, but you got the draft coming up for the Texans, so you got positives.
Is that what they wanted to talk about the Texans for? Because I'm thinking, what on earth?
Draft, yeah, okay. Definitely. With the draft coming up, wanted to know who I thought they'd be looking at in the draft and what positions. That's obvious. And because you and I have talked about it ad nauseum about the fact they haven't addressed the offensive line like they should. But then, obviously, a lot of Rockets. And then Tiger, because I wasn't shy about tweeting out my thoughts yesterday again because of the fact that this was a pretty – whether you're a golf fan or not, It was one of those moments that was iconic. So it was a cool day yesterday.
Yeah, there was a lot going on, and I won't do you or golf a disservice by trying to start it now. Right, we'll wait till the segment. Right. We'll wait till we have a full segment at least to dedicate to it. But it was very cool to see that. Mm-hmm. It was a crazy weekend.
It really was.
Like, so much that you didn't expect to happen happened.
Even
in basketball.
Yeah.
In baseball.
Even in the first round of the NBA playoffs, we're always just like, okay, let's just get to the semis.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, upsets are happening left, right. And Damon Jones doesn't look like such an idiot right now.
Well, I was thinking two things. I was thinking about Damon Jones, and I was thinking about how we talked about the East was just going to be top four, no-brainer, cakewalk. That was easy. And then I looked up and went, uh-oh. Well, I mean, it's not over, but wow. That's a statement. Those are statement games to come out as underdogs and win on the road like that.
Thanks to Josh Rapp for pointing it out, though. But we made sure to make it a point that for everybody that bangs on James Harden for being a playoff failure, Kyle Lowry's right up there, and that little golden goose egg didn't help the Raptors any. So,
eesh.
Had that one right.
Did you get your taxes done?
I got them done a month ago.
Oh, I hate you. Yeah. Did you do your taxes, Nick?
About a month ago, honestly.
That a boy.
Really?
I never get it done early. I usually... It's usually like April 10th, April 11th.
Oh, I was going to say, you don't file an extension?
No. I always do it on time.
Today, though, that if you file an extension, you get the extension till October.
Still got to pay.
But what does that mean? So you got to guesstimate what you would pay and have to pay that day?
Yes. And then, so let's say that you, let's just use round numbers. Let's say that you owe $2,000.
That's just hypothetical,
just
right?
Just that out.
That's hypothetical.
Yeah. And, yeah, so you would do like an estimate of it, like you would do, okay, this is my income, this is my basic deductions, and then here's some stuff, and let's say that it says you owe $2,000. You go ahead and pay the $2,000 now. What sucks is you file the extension so you can look for more deductions or whatever,
right,
or need more time, and I think it's October 15th. Mm-hmm. If you still owe more than the $2,000, you have to pay penalty and interest on the difference. Oh. So if you end up owing $2,500, you got to pay penalties and interest on the $500.
What if you pay less? You just get the money back?
Yeah. If you end up getting like $1,800, they just give you the money. You're not getting interest from the government, bro.
Yes.
By the way, let me just get this out of the way, and you can save your hate texts and tweets because I really don't care what you think. Not you.
Right.
People listening. Trump and the whole Congress can kiss my ass. I am so mad.
I saw your tweet, which was a little more harsh than that. But yeah.
Yeah, I can't say the F word on radio. I am so mad about this new tax stuff, man. Like, this whole capping of the property tax has really, really, really made me mad. Now, I will say this. I saw Governor Abbott on Twitter. Somebody tagged me on one of his tweets where he's like, we need to reform property tax. This is too much. You should be – I think he said something to the effect of, we should be taxed on what we spend, not on where we live. And I was like, amen to that. My big beef is the school taxes, I don't want to go into like a big political rant, but it's like, I don't have kids. I realize that schools are important, but there's people with 5 and 6 kids that live in my neighborhood, that live on my street, that pay the same amount of taxes and school tax that I pay, and none of my kids go there because they don't exist.
I hear
and
you.
I'm helping foot the bill for 6 kids to go to school at public school. Oh, it drives me insane, dude. But I get it. You know, it's politics and everyone's going to have their opinion and some of you don't agree with me and that's fine. Somebody got mad at me because I said bleep Trump and bleep everyone.
That'll stir it up every time.
Bleep everyone in Congress that voted for this tax bill. And then somebody was like, I don't think you know, it's not Trump's thing. Do some research. And I did. And it's Trump's administration that proposed the tax cuts along with Brady. But it had to be voted on by Democrats and Republicans. So trust me when I tell you, this is not a party thing for me. This is everyone that holds a seat in Congress that voted for a thing. Oh, I just hate owing. I hate it so much.
Speaking of that with you, and you can't say what you tweeted. Nick, you were working this morning?
I was not.
Oh, I thought you were filling in. I thought they said Nick because Granato pulled one on somebody. Really bad, where he and Chance had gotten into it. I don't know if it was about taxes or something else.
Uh-huh.
But just without missing a beat, Granato was like, "You're full of shit," and you could hear everybody go. and it was a longer text and a tweet that he had tweeted, and he just kept going. And Lance was just shaking his head, laughing. Going, boy, you are. That is cold right
so
there
close.
Because it was like full right in tempo,
out.
Perfect. Like if you had to really listen to go, oh, he didn't say it.
You scared me just right now.
What I'm saying.
Me too.
And I thought they were like, oh, Nick thought you. And I was like, I thought Nick. I was like, is Nick filling in? Because that would be like fear. to hear that. The way funny. We do things. But
why was they actually filling in? Because I let it go? Like what?
No, I thought they were like, yeah, I don't know.
I was going to say, their producers
like
actually.
Dell was out or something. I don't know.
Their producers actually have their back.
Oh, see, and then we got
see,
that.
That's where I thought he was going.
No,
and
I was
then
being
you
dead
took
serious.
It there, Barry.
I was taking Taylor to school.
You know what? Maybe next time, hit the dump button, ho.
I
no
hit the dump button.
Say it.
Maybe don't curse when I'm outside or down the hall.
Bitch, you've sat there and looked at the dump button.
It's official. Man. It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects. All in the family, and we're glad you are along for the ride. We'll be back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just getting started on The Usual Suspects on a Monday. Let's make it a fun day. Evidently, if Barry starts commentary with bitch, it's going to be a good day.
Apparently so, according to the texters. Someone said, don't worry, Barry, you might feel bad, but you look worse. So this is starting off to be a great show.
I like that tweet or text.
Easiest way to take him back off of the good mode.
Somebody said the best part about the Masters early start, Joel Osteen didn't get to be on TV, LOL. Okay. Well,
which is true.
Fair enough.
Yeah, CBS leased the station because I got mad because I knew it was a morning. They made it a morning tea time. So I was like trying to get everything done, thinking it was a 9 o'clock. The leaders were going to tee off about 9 something. I come in the house. I had run to Starbucks. And Lisa's like, you're not going to be happy. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, he's on hole 3. I go, how'd that happen? She goes, evidently it was Eastern time. And
oof.
She goes, the station call or texted or said that they were clearing the whole schedule all morning and that Masters coverage started at like 7 something. I was like, well, someone should have told me. Good thing I didn't know anybody at the station. The hell?
First of all, I'm not going to lie. I started watching around hole 15. I guess I'm just not. It would be like a lot of the local guys here in town when it comes to college basketball in March. If I told you that I was in it the whole time, I would be a liar. But I look at my phone and I see tweets about, oh, my God, Tiger. Oh, my God. I was like, well, I guess I need to go watch the rest of this. I should at least see what happens. And I tell you what, even not as a huge golf fan, I'm a fan of Tiger. And he makes golf interesting. But just watching the end, the celebration with the kids and the family really gave me chills. I'm not even lying. And again, I don't have a lot invested in this, but to know what he's come back from, to know what he's fought through, that has to be so gratifying.
No. And the thing is that, you know, my basketball crew on Saturdays, we always get into these, you know, pseudo comments that we make about white guy this versus, oh, you guys, you know, black guys don't do this, and we go back and forth. And so
y'all are racist.
No, basically they are. No, I'm not. But we always joke about different things, and they're always surprised, like, you know, when you and I talk about the fact that if we know R&B and hip-hop artists or things like that. So we're going back and forth. And one, it started with the dirt. Because I was like, so y'all, with all these different documentaries you tell me to watch that I need to see, are y'all dialed into the dirt? They're like, what's that? And then half the guys were like, who's Motley Crue?
Oh, no. Wait. Black people don't know who Motley Crue is?
A lot of my black friends I play hoops with did not know.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy.
And so, you get mad if white people don't know New Edition.
Listen,
black folks, it's got to be a level playing field here, all right?
So Saturday, I walk in the gym, because normally a lot of times, too, and it's like I kid some of the guys. I was like, I'm going to have T-shirts made. And it's going to say, I came for the hoops. I stay for the argument, because these guys stay for like 2 and 3 hours after we're done hooping.
Right.
Just like debating who's better, Harden or LeBron or this, that, and the other thing. So it was a running joke. So I said, all right, y'all, Tiger's in it. So what are we texting or how are we doing this? And I was like, kiddingly. And they're like, what time's he tee off? And they're like, the tournament's over today, right? And I was like, it's Saturday, dude.
Oh, no.
So then some of the guys started to tweet me Sunday morning. I was like, all right, if you're going to do this, then you're in for the long haul. Because I said, and they're all like, no, we're in. So then, and it started building, and we started, and I was like, here's a keyhole, here's this. And they're like, oh, my God, it's getting good.
Yeah.
And then when it all, you probably tuned in at about the right time. But even CBS, the thing that amazed me was Tiger almost gets the hole-in-one on 16. Someone had to tell them from somewhere outside the truck. By the way, that's Michael Phelps in the gallery right over Tiger's shoulder, nice. Hoping that thing goes in. I was telling Nick, they had no clue because he had this old man's visor on.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, this is a big deal.
That's great.
But yeah, you're right. It was whether you're a sports fan, a golf fan, or just you need a story in life that can give you a pick-me-up on second chances, it's amazing.
Yeah, I for several different reasons, but one because, and I was one of them, that I didn't think he'd ever win a major again. When you go through the injuries that he went mm-hmm. through for as long as he struggled through them, plus the mental side of the game, plus there's a lot of really good golfers now. Yeah. When Tiger yep. was dominant, it didn't seem like there were many guys that could press him. Maybe two or three. Phil, Sergio, at the time, those were the guys that he had to be constantly looking out for. Now, there's five or six oh, yeah. guys at any moment.
More than that, yeah.
Yeah, easily. That could be the best golfer in the world, or you could make the case to be the best golfer in the world. So to do all that, it's just amazing, just absolutely amazing.
And here's the thing, too. To know that you would not, I don't think it's hard. I don't think I'm off base by saying this, but not just in golf, maybe even as it transcends into other sports, you might not find a more mentally tough person in athletics than what Tiger was and had been through. To hear him know that he was teetering on the verge of never playing again, and basically that he was just going to be happy if he could walk with his kids again, is one
right.
thing. And I was one of the guys that, through the whole process, kept saying he's going to win another one. And so, believe me, I remembered names yesterday, and I was sending messages.
I didn't get one from you, but no. I thought I should, because I was one of the ones that said
there
no.
There were several listeners that got into it with me. When he won the Tour Championship last year, I went at, and one guy in particular was like, I said a major. I go, okay, fine. I'm going to let you off on that one. Yesterday, I said, you watching the golf? He's like, oh, yeah, man, it's the Masters. I go, you remember what you said? He goes, bro, how am I supposed to remember what I said a year ago? I go, because I do. I remember exactly what you said. Because the thing is, I wanted to catch the press conference because that's where, not the one in the Butler cabin with Jim Nantz. I want, because the one where he just kind of lets his guard down a little and it was really interesting. But they went to Nota Begay, who was his college teammate at Stanford. And the most interesting thing to me was Nota Begay said, he's one of my best friends. I went to his house after like the second of the four back surgeries. He's like, when I walked in, he couldn't get out of the recliner to greet me. He asked me if I could go with him to pick up his kids from school because he couldn't even sit in the car or drive.
Wow.
And he couldn't walk. And now you got a guy that just won the Masters.
Yeah. I will say this. Watching him, because they did a lot of close-ups on that last putt, and I really wish he would have drained that putt and not,
I do too.
Not the four-footer. It would have made for a much better ending to it, but whatever it was. He's starting to age.
And take his hat off.
We all age, but you've, like, Tiger's one of those guys that's always going to be 20, 23 years old in my head. And when he was, how old was he when he was dominant? It was about 23, 24. Yeah. And now that he's getting older, it's like this new era of Tiger is starting, and he's the old man Tiger and not the young, dominant, strong. Sure. But it was just weird to see an older-looking Tiger.
He joked about it at the post-game press conference. They were like, was it stressful? He goes, fellas, have you seen my head? I'm bald for a reason. It was pretty stressful.
Pretty cool day, though, for a golf fan, I imagine. Yeah.
All right, so we got plenty to get to. And again, if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. You can call that number, text that number, or, of course, you can reach us via Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 975.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through our number one three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We always appreciate you guys taking us on the go, wherever you may be in the big city on a Monday. Evidently, Vegas took a bath this weekend in Tiger Woods in the Masters.
Does Vegas ever really take a bath?
You don't think so, right? But a guy put 85 grand on Tiger at 14 to 1. He was one of the guys. Cashed in at 1.14.
So they took a bath on that guy.
Yeah. Well, they took
it. I'm sure they took in enough money on a lot of people that didn't win to not take a bath.
You would. I don't think they're ever too far in the hole. I don't think they're ever in the hole.
Right.
But I'm sure that it was.
I'm sure it wasn't a great weekend for him when an underdog wins, but I'm sure they still managed to do all right.
Well, there's enough idiots that bet everything else, right, too, that help him out, yeah, even it out.
Nick's out there.
Oh, boy.
Already?
Yeah, just keep your head up.
It was the largest single golf ticket in the history of the SLS Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wow. 85,000
on Tiger at 14 to 1, 1.19. And he says the guy said it was his first bet. Cashed in big time.
Wow.
So they said in February, the sports book took a $10,000 bet at Woods at 12 to 1, which paid 120 grand, obviously. But there were several people that cashed in big on the resurgence of Tiger. And the other thing, because obviously people are ad nauseum talking about Tiger, so we're not going to do that to you. But I thought one of the other things that was really funny was they showed during the Masters coverage on ESPN, Phil with the really bad jump when he won the Masters on the 18th green.
His vertical.
And then they had
a Larry Bird vertical.
And they had all these guys on tour going, Phil's really athletic. And they go like, no, really. And then they were like, you seen his calves? Because, you know, he did the tweet.
Yeah.
But then, everybody, I noticed no one touched the moobs. But they were talking about, like, you know, because, like, even today, Bubba Watson's out there going, what they were really talking about with his jump was the fact it's his arms, it's not his calves. But, you know, now we're all in the gym because of Tiger and Phil. But what's really cool, and I think you can relate to this, is that Phil, who's never been the real social guy, but he's starting to get on social media more.
Yeah.
He did a really cool thing where he did live FaceTime as he drove his car up Magnolia Lane and talked about what his strategy was going to be. And meantime, you're looking at what it feels like to be a player driving up the driveway.
Oh,
parking
I did
the
see
car.
Something like that. I didn't watch it, but I saw.
Funny, it's only about a minute and some, so I retweeted if you want to see it. But the funniest part of it was Phil has that real dry sense of humor. We've talked about Matt Kuchar not tipping his caddy that time he won the tournament in Mexico.
Yeah.
He was playing with Kuch that on Saturday. Took a little parting shot at Kuch in the middle of the whole audio.
I've got a great pairing today with Matt Kuchar. Obviously, we're not going to have any side action today because I'd probably see like 0.06% if I did win. But we're going to have a great day. I love his caddy, Woody.
It was just great. And the whole thing's like a minute and 20 seconds. But what's really cool is, and because I've tried to tell you guys, just the aura of what it feels like to be on the grounds. When you drive up that driveway, it's literally like the entire driveway has a nature-made bridge of just trees that form like this natural bridge all the way down Magnolia Lane. And at the end of it, you have the flowers that make the logo, and then behind it is the white clubhouse. And it's really cool. But he filmed the whole thing, so it was kind of neat. And then he was talking about his strategy and what need to win. But the shot at Kuchar was
pretty funny. Everyone fell asleep.
Probably. I mean, if you're not a golfer, I can see it happening, yeah.
That is funny. I like that he took that shot at him. That needs to be done.
Yeah. So that was
gotta
that
get
was
those
good stuff.
Digs in,
and lots of people, of course, were all over the place with their tweets and congratulations, both presidents.
It cracks me up though that I see people like on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, they're all talking to Tiger.
Oh man,
Tiger's like I saw a guy on Facebook that was like, "I'm proud of you, Tiger. Like you did it." And I always had your back. Like, dude, Tiger's not your Facebook friend. Why?
Well, you know what they're hoping
what
for.
What are you doing?
They're tagging him, hoping that he
no,
responds.
No, they didn't even tag him. Oh. That's just it. This is just on Facebook. Just somebody randomly talking to Tiger. It's like, bro, like no, you don't. No, what are you doing? You're literally just posting this just those people to try to, I guess, make yourself feel good. I don't know. That's weird.
That's the power of Tiger Woods, I guess. I don't know.
Well,
there's idiots out there all over. So I did that video last week when I said that Justin Reed, it was awesome that he stood up for, he wanted to blast.
I saw the tweet, yeah.
Some guy responded to it and tagged Justin Reed going, I mean, really, I know that, you know, we're a football town, but we're talking football on a major Houston sports outlet in April. And I was like, what are you looking for? You want Justin Reed to go, yeah, homie, I'm with you. He's loving this. Bunch of idiots sometimes.
That was funny. By the way, we were talking Motley Crue and how black people don't know who Motley Crue is. Mm-hmm. And Judge Jones on Twitter, he's a comic, funny dude. I got to work with him this weekend, but he was saying, Barry, black people don't know who Motley Crue are, but they know the songs. We mostly assume all those hair metal songs are from one big band, Aerosmith.
He's right, though.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Because I was talking to the guys between funny games. Dude. I was like, come on, you guys don't know Kickstart My Heart, and you do the face.
And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah,
oh, I got that one. Yeah, I know Girls, Girls, Girls. Well, of course you do, because you saw the video.
We heard from a black delegate. Apparently they attribute every hair metal song to Aerosmith. So
there you have
it. There you go. That song Jump, I love when Aerosmith did that song.
David Lee Hagar or whatever his name was. Yeah, those guys were good.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So that'll wrap up our Masters coverage. You can play the music. But here's the way. Okay, one other thing for you. Did we ever see Tiger cry? Because Jim Nance cried. He got choked up on the questions. Nick Faldo got emotional. But I think that's the one thing. And maybe CBS was trying to get there. But no matter what happened, even when they showed him, because they you could tell they were setting him up. They're like, we want you to look at the monitor, and we want you to do the split screen of you with your dad and then you with Sam. And I don't think he ever cried. I think he got emotional and was obviously very vocal emotional. But I don't think that he ever cried. And I think some people on Twitter were upset about that.
Really?
Yeah. And he didn't cry?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Thinking that this was such a monumental moment for him that he should cry.
People are just really reaching on Twitter about what to complain about and what to call you out on.
Let's get to that, too. Yeah, because Nick got in the middle of one, and I felt for him. I wanted to get in on it, too, to have his back, because some people are just – we said this. We know this. We deal with this every day. Some people are just idiots.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Paul, for those who – weren't watching after the game, walked out on the press conference because he wasn't getting a lot of Chris Paul questions. So a lot of people, they don't understand the dynamic is that, you know, me going to the game is a privilege. So I get to go to this game and just document what happened. It doesn't necessarily mean that what I'm tweeting is an opinion, but people tend to interpret a tweet as an opinion when it really isn't. I'm just telling you what happened. Chris Paul walked out. And if you think for 1 second that he wasn't upset about the lack of Chris Paul questions, I'm sorry, man. You're delusional. So I'm getting tweets from this guy named Nelson. I don't know. Is he a listener?
No idea.
I have no idea.
No clue.
And he's just calling me like a drama queen and an attention whore because I literally document what happened.
He thought you were trying to stir it up, make something that wasn't there. First thing when I saw Nick's video was, he's absolutely right. Because what, you know, in the playoffs, they put up more than one player on the podium and give the national media a chance to fire questions. And James was sitting right next to Chris, and the media, all they want to do is talk to James. And it can be frustrating. But when Nick put it up there, and I was like, Nick is spot on right, because you can hear him mumble at first. But I, having worked there, I knew exactly what he looked at their PR person to kind of warn him that I'm not going to do this much longer. Then, and Nick was savvy enough to pick it up. He mumbles to James, I'm out of here. And then when it gets to that point, he just flat out gets up and he goes.
Yeah, I think the chronological order of the questions, like there was already a question for James Harden about the fact that the Jazz were forcing him to his right, their defensive scheme against James Harden. And it was brought up by the Chronicle. And then two or three questions later, a Utah Jazz member asked the same question.
Media member, right?
Yeah, Utah Jazz media member. He's like on the local beat there in Utah and covers the Utah Jazz. Before Chris Paul.
Could have been your guy.
Was it Andy?
It could have been Andy.
Oh, stupid ass Andy?
I don't know.
I know you're in town. You can hear me, Andy.
I got to find out.
I think it was Barry's guy.
I know you're in town, Andy, and you can hear me. Suck it. 1-0, bitch. Go home.
The Chronicle, and it was Brian T. Smith, asked the question. He goes, this is for James and Chris. James answers the question. Chris Paul never gets an opportunity to answer. The Utah Jazz media member, I'm not sure if it's Andy or not, asked a question before Chris Paul could answer. And it was the same question that had already been asked by the Chronicle. Chris Paul goes, I'm out of here. So for anybody that thinks Chris Paul wasn't upset, you're absolutely delusional. Absolutely
you're
delusional.
Wrong. Simple.
Well, one, what do you expect from a Utah media member? Not the smartest people. But their fans aren't smart either. One guy was like, I'm so sick of seeing it. I retweeted it because he was like, James Harden, all he does is flop. All he, the refs
oh,
call.
I saw you said, you mad, bro?
I was like, you mad, bro? Like, but all they do is call fouls and there's not fouls. Guess what? It was 20 personal fouls for the Jazz, 20 personal fouls for the Rockets. That game was called right down the middle. There were plenty of calls missed on both sides. There were plenty of gifts on both sides. Shut up. Like, there was not a huge discrepancy in foul calls.
Yeah.
At all. It was, in fact, it was identical.
Yeah.
That's the one thing you could not complain about last night was officiating.
Yeah, I mean.
Absolutely right.
There was bad calls on both sides.
There were bad calls. Harden got screwed on a couple.
Yeah.
By Mark Davis. And not just on bad calls, like that it wasn't a foul, wasn't it? Where he should have been shooting and he wasn't shooting, too.
Right.
There was a lot of stuff that, you're right, it goes both ways. And believe me, the officials look at the box score at halftime, they'll even that stuff out.
And one thing I want to say, because a lot of people were making the excuse about, well, the media was just wasting his time. Let's say Chris Paul stayed for the remainder of that press conference. He would have stayed, what, an extra 7 minutes? Yeah. What did he have to do in that 7 minutes? It was a Sunday night. It was almost midnight. What was he doing? Going to go out? You're known to get injured in the postseason. You need all the rest you can get. You have a game on Wednesday night, a very important game two playoff game on Wednesday night. What was 7 minutes going to do? It wasn't a waste of time. And the media members were upset that he left because they had questions for Chris Paul. They would have eventually circled back to Chris Paul and asked questions. So this notion that, oh, we wasted Chris Paul's time, no. It would have been an extra 7 minutes at the most.
They want to talk to Chris Paul when he hits the game winner. You got to be patient when it's and take wait your turn when it's someone else's time to shine.
I feel like there's rarely any good stuff that comes out of those press conferences.
No, but you got to understand the beat writers and the guys are putting together stories.
They got to have something.
They got to have something on the exact specific they're working on.
Yeah, so ask good questions and that doesn't happen.
Well, they're not as good as you at
interviews. Well, I'm not saying that I'm good at that either. I'm just saying like most of the time. You know,
but you put thought into it. What I'm saying is they may know what they got to get for their story. They just that's why we joke about like writers that think they can instantaneously be like broadcasting, radio, TV, otherwise.
Right.
It's a skill. You got to polish it. You know, you can't just go, hey, you kind of had an off night tonight. But
yeah, talk about your off night. That's not a question. That's just you wanting them to say something so you can write it down.
And pissing them off.
Yeah, I don't know. I see your point, though, Nick, about, hey, look, what's 7 minutes? You could have stuck it out. But it is a bit disrespectful, don't you think?
Absolutely, by the Utah Jazz media member that didn't let him answer his question.
And also by the mediator for the Rockets, or it's supposed to be the NBA. But just like in the baseball playoffs or any time else, there's a representative that, just like with Tiger in his press conference, that sits up there and goes, hey, wait a minute. Before we get to another question, Chris still has to answer that question.
Yeah,
and then calls on the next person. And to Nick's point, which was a good one, you alternate. So you get a Utah media person, then you get a Houston person, so you avoid the same
question. Yeah, we were talking about that before the show. You got to be able to prioritize who gets the questions. And if the person that's facilitating that, I'm not going to call her name because she does a really good job, but the person who did it last year had more experience, and she was really good about prioritizing who got the question when. Okay, and so that makes a difference. It makes a huge difference because Chris Paul probably would have gotten more questions had it been approached a little bit differently.
Well, it's a good time in Houston sports if the biggest controversy from a opening round playoff win is Chris Paul leaving the press conference early. You're in pretty good shape. I mean, if you want to be in good shape financially, I suggest you get Upside. That's an app that's out there that I've been using, that some of the listeners have been using. You guys need to get on Get Upside, man. It gives you cash back for the stuff you're already purchasing, like gas and food. And who amongst us isn't buying gas and food? Pretty much all of us are. Here's what I want you to do. Download the app. It's completely free. iTunes and Google Play is where you find it. Get Upside is all one word. And then put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That is going to get you extra savings on your first fill up through the app. And here's the cool thing, man. You're already buying gas, right? Why not download Get Upside, put in promo code Barry, and then you pull up the search function and it finds a gas station near you offering cash back. So you're going to fill up. You drive over there. You fill up. You pay with a debit card. You upload your receipt. Boom, you get the cash back offer within 24 hours. The cash is in your Get Upside app for you to go out and get. So it's that easy, man. Like, there's really no catch. That's why I don't understand when I hear people, oh, no, I haven't downloaded it yet. You're leaving money at the pump. You're leaving money at the table. There's over 100 restaurants in town that are in the Get Upside app that you can go to where you can get up to 35% cash back. Guys, don't leave free money at the pump. Don't leave free money at the table. Download Get Upside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that cash back and thank me later.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What? Sorry, I didn't hear the hot. That's my bad. We're back!
Leave it to Barry to mess up the rejoins.
You know what? That's what I'm here for.
Yeah? We'll be sick is not an excuse, sir.
360 seconds.
What's that?
No, I said we'll be back in 360 seconds.
What the hell does that mean?
Because I'll screw that one up.
Oh.
So we're back in the first hour of The Usual Suspects. We haven't got to the Rockets specifically, except for Chris Paul's post game. But a big win for that team last night. Early statement, and I know you've got notes, so
I do.
Let's crack the top on Rockets talk, because obviously there's a lot to talk about, and most of it is extremely positive.
I agree. My only thing that I didn't like, and we can get to all the stuff we loved, and maybe it's just me, maybe I'm just being picky, but James Harden played most of that game pretty lackadaisical. A lot of walking up the court, a lot of uninteresting defense, a lot of not being interested on defense, last man up the court as usual, like he is a lot.
I was going to say the Barry factor was in full effect, where if he didn't get a call, he kind of just stopped in his tracks.
I didn't like it. I didn't like what I saw. And then every time I would get ready to tweet, like, why is James Harden being so lazy on the court? Then he'd go and do something at the rim and get fouled or get a block, get hit in the face, got a steal, got that block, that big block at one point. So I can't fully complain, but God, it drives me insane when I'm watching basketball and I'm seeing the best player in the NBA right now walking up the court. Bro, get up there and help your team. So your man might be the trailer. Who cares? If you can get a 5-on-4 defensively, take advantage of that until your man gets up the court. Why are you walking up the court? I don't get it.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to say conserving energy.
Oh, Clint Capella was exhausted from being sick. Never once did I see him walk up the court. Don't give me that.
There's a difference. But
huh?
James is going to say there's a difference.
What's the difference? Clint Capella was sick and they were worried about him lack of energy. And he was still, every time you look, that man is hustling up and down the court.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. I'm sorry. If you're sick or you need energy, get out of the game.
If we're going to start with the concerns we have, I would say that the thing I would add on to that is I'm concerned about the fact that the role players still have to fulfill their roles and do it well. And as we get deeper into these playoffs, it's going to be more and more imperative that more guys knock down shots. I saw Daniel House make some, but that's why I was clamoring from the get. This guy you had to bring him back at some point because he's been huge for them in terms of what he does defensively, activity-wise, all that stuff. PJ Tucker, hot and cold. Eric Gordon got off to the hot start, but that's my biggest concern. Are the role players going to do enough when you play a team that isn't the Jazz? When you bring a team that has three, four elite defenders like the Warriors and say, you can't just rely on Chris and James. You've got to get more help.
I don't mind PJ Tucker not contributing offensively because of what he does defensively.
I agree with that, Barry.
I really like it. He went 3 of 7. That's not awful.
No, but what I'm saying is,
that's not awful at all. I'll take that every time from PJ. 11 points. He had 4 rebounds, 2 steals. It was a plus 16 on the floor. Yeah. But the big thing is the hustle. The big thing is drawing the charges. Those are things you don't see. The big stops, the forcing a guy to be uncomfortable at the rim, taking a shot.
What I'm getting to, though, is that more and more these guys are going to get those open shots. And we talked about this at the end of the regular season with Daniel House. You're being told confidently, you got to shoot that. You got to shoot that. You got to shoot that. And that's where, at some point, consistently, because Tucker last night I got no problems with, and he made shots in the first half. He showed up in the box score because he was making some shots. It's the other guys that scare me, because we've already said, and Nick, you validated this, Shumpert is done. I mean, Shumpert is just only with an injury is he going to get any kind of meaningful minutes. But Gerald Green, if he doesn't make the first one or the second one, you got to sit him down because he's going to be jacking. And these guys have to make sure that they're making shots.
Eric Gordon, I think, is really important. Eric Gordon,
huge.
I kind of agree with Barry in that PJ Tucker, if 3 for 7, I'm okay with that. Was that the long range or was that overall?
That was 3 point. He was 4 for 8 for the game. Seven behind the
If he shoots 50%
line.
From the floor, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really ask for more. Mm-hmm. Eric Gordon, I think, is really huge. Like when he hit that 3-pointer plus the foul, I think that was a huge confidence booster for him. And I think if you get something like that to build the confidence for Eric Gordon, that can be huge for the Rockets. That way.
So you're saying you didn't like the way he stepped up?
Gordon? No. I love it because he got off to a start. But you're right because of the fact that different guys, different triggers. Gerald Green's got to make his first shot regardless. Eric Gordon's one of those guys that just needs one little positive boost and it can really get him going. He was big because they got off to a slow start again and he got them, he righted the ship quickly to get going. But the other thing was, much like you say about Tucker, I loved Eric Gordon's defense last night.
Yeah, that and the fact that he got to the rack. I mean, that was huge. I think him getting to the rack was big. Like you said, with the was it a 3-pointer?
Yeah, he had a 3-point and he got fouled and it went in. And I just felt like that was a big confidence booster. And yeah, they did give him credit for defense because they were trying to use him to lure away Rudy Gobert.
Yeah,
and it worked on a few plays.
But he also helped Donovan Mitchell to be held under. Oh, that's what I meant.
Donovan
average.
Mitchell,
yeah.
Not Rudy Gobert. That's my bad. But yeah.
So in regards to the Daniel House thing, I mean, he went 3 for 10. You think about this, though. He makes one more. That's a great percentage as opposed to an okay percentage. Yeah, he was 4 of 11 from the field, 3 of 10 behind the three-point line. That dunk was nasty, though. Yeah. But what fascinated me most is the fact that this went exactly the opposite of what I thought would happen. In that I didn't think the Rockets would have that kind of day in the paint that they had against this team. Utah's big. They got Gobert in the middle. They're a good shot blocking team. They're a good defensive team. And the fact that they literally just gave Harden the ability to drive the lane and make decisions, why would you do that? Like that, I mean, first of all, Capella blew about 5 layups on his own as usual, and you're just going to have to deal with that. But just the fact that the Rockets were able to do Eric Gordon, like you were saying, Nick, in the paint, some of the dunks like Daniel House, but James Harden being able to make decisions, kick out to PJ Tucker or pick and roll with Clint Capella. I was stunned that they were able to just have their way in the paint with Utah. I didn't see that coming at all.
Here's the stupidity in Utah's part. One, Rubio was picking up Harden at midcourt, but picking him up from behind, waited for James to get so that he could accentuate pushing him right. But the one thing that you don't want to do is get James going downhill. The fact that he gave him all that space let James get momentum.
Yeah.
Now you take a guy like you're talking about, an elite defender like Rudy Gobert, and you put him in limbo because I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. If I go press up on James, alley-oop over the top to Clint. If I hold back, James is going to score on me in the paint. So that's why the paint presence was there. That's where Utah's just got to start over. Otherwise, this is going to be a real short series.
I like what Kenny and Shaq and Barkley were saying afterwards, which sounded like it made the most sense. Instead of giving James Harden the ability to penetrate and make a decision, whether it's Tucker or alley-oop or teardrop or whatever, just play straight-up hard defense. Force him to work a little bit, and you're probably in better shape because now he's going to be more tired. And they talked a lot last night about rhythm. Rockets' rhythm looked really good. If you force James to just one-on-one defend him straight up, it's going to be a lot different.
Yep. All right, so we can continue with some Rockets talk. I've got plenty more to get to in hour number two. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. HR&P listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Right now, before the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I made the switch about 2 years ago. Save thousands off of my bills from my previous energy provider. And it starts with a simple phone call. All you do is call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. And right away, you're going to notice a difference because unlike the big store, the big energy companies that are just so busy that they have to give you an automated system, well, you get a human being on the phone, and they ask you questions, and they talk to you. They'll ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business? Is it for your family? And they go from there until they pinpoint the best rate and the best possible deal they can give you because they want to make sure that they're more than just affordable, hassle-free energy. It's a company that has your back. They're not going to try and screw you over. They're going to be 100% honest. Even if that means there's competition out there that can beat their prices, they're going to let you know. It's a rare occasion, but when it does happen, they want to make sure that you realize you can trust them. You may not go with them now, but you'll go with them at some point because they're not going to try and screw you over and they're going to provide great customer service. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips as well, and that's something that you need because you know that it can decrease your carbon footprint and you get renewable energy credits, which are all fantastic things in today's day and age. Do me a favor. Just give them a call. Give them a try. You can check them out at infuseenergy.com or give them that call at 844-INFUSE2. You may not go with them now, but you may end up with them someday because Infuse Energy is the place to be. That's why I infused energy into my life.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.